B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online, landisbc.com. John Clark will join us at 4:30. Touch base to see what John Clark is up to.
He talked to the Wheeler mainly, and he talked to him about this whole MLB thing. He gave some interesting answers.
That's right. He talked to Zach Wheeler. He interviewed Zach Wheeler, and Zach wasn't too keen on it, right?
Right, and he also... He working on NFL stuff. You know, Johnny jumps around.
Oh, he does. He does jump
around. But that was the biggest thing. He jumped
on
that.
Yes, and of course, Wheeler's wife is pregnant. So that's right. One of the things that was in his way on that kind of situation. And probably others are in that same situation. By the way, Jim Jeffries, I'm told by Twitter, Tony on Twitter, is Australian and not English. Carr is English.
Okay.
That Jimmy Carr I've seen on roasts.
Yes.
Jim Jeffries is Australian.
All right.
We straight?
Yeah.
All right, we straight. All right, let's go back to the actors, the grades. And now we're going to go with Christian Bale. So let's start. Now, can we count the one where he was the boy? He was actually very good, and this is a very good movie. Empire of the Sun. Can we count that?
Yeah.
Can you?
I mean,
very good in it. He was young.
Because that would mean if we were doing like Kurt Russell, if he had made the list, we'd have to go because he was a child star. I think we got to go from like how old was he in it?
He was boy age, like 14 or something. But
14?
I think we'll get it.
Because in Leo, you got to put in Gilbert Grape. You have to put in Gilbert Grape. Yeah. So yeah, it's it. And that's a hit.
Okay. Henry V.
It was well reviewed, but all Shakespeare is well reviewed.
I got to give it to him then.
Yeah.
All right. Newsies.
That was awesome. Yes.
I love the Newsies.
This guy's going to have the best percentage.
Oh my God. I forgot about that movie.
Swing Kids. That was actually pretty good.
I didn't care for it, but sure. No. I can't just go by just me.
Yeah. Swing
People
Kids.
Liked it.
Yeah. Little Women.
That was a hit.
Not this one. Not the Greta.
The original one. This one people were a little mad about.
Yeah. Royal Deceit.
We have to go down on the Royal Deceit.
Portrait of a Lady.
I mean, come on. Get out of here.
The Secret Agent.
Nah.
Mm.
Metroland. I don't even know these movies.
I know. Well,
you see, when you only make arty films, you get a lot of those.
Velvet Goldmine.
What? What is that?
I don't know what that is. All the Little Animals.
Can't say I recall.
These are real movies?
Yes.
Can't say I recall that one.
A Midsummer Night's Dream with Shakespeare Factor.
I love that.
Shakespeare Factor. American Psycho.
Yes. We're talking.
Shaft.
Wait, that's
Shaft? Who's being Shaft? Oh.
Walter Wade Jr.
That's a miss. Swing and a miss.
Captain Corelli's Mandolin got very good reviews.
That was a hit.
Laurel Canyon.
That was people did like that as well.
They did like it?
I believe
that. Yeah,
okay. Rain of Fire.
I don't know anything about
Rain of Fire. I don't either. Equilibrium. The Machinist.
Oh, well, yeah. He was spectacular.
Batman Begins.
Very good.
Yes. Yes.
Harsh Times.
Don't know Harsh Times.
The New World.
Can't say I
remember. Rescue Dawn.
What?
I've heard of Rescue Dawn, but...
Yeah, The Prestige. That was very well.
Yeah, that was good.
310 to Yuma.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. The Dark Knight.
Well, of course.
I'm Not There. That wasn't that movie with, it was the spoof on Joaquin Phoenix. I'm Not There. Well, what?
I don't know. I'm not quite.
It was Dylan. That's right. It was Bob Dylan, not Joaquin Phoenix. Bob Dylan. I'm not there. It was well received.
Okay.
All right. The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, I said that right.
Yeah.
Terminator Salvation.
People did like that one.
They didn't like it?
They did.
All right. Public Enemies.
Oh, people like that.
Yeah.
The Fighter.
I love The Fighter. Fighter is an underrated movie. Yeah.
The Flowers of War.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. What?
Are these real movies?
These are real movies. These are fairly recent, too. The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, people liked all of them, yeah.
Out of the Furnace.
Didn't see it.
American Hustle.
Yeah.
And he was really good in
it.
He
was.
Yeah. Exodus, Gods and Kings.
I think that was well received.
Well, he was Moses, man. You can't take that away from him. Knight of Cups.
Knight of Cups? Come on, man. That's out. That's no. I'm not watching that.
The Big Short.
Yeah, that was good.
The Promise.
Don't know.
I don't know it either. Hostiles.
He was in
Hostiles.
That?
Captain Joseph Blocker.
Oh, I was thinking Hostel. Yeah. That horror film.
No, Hostiles.
Oh, no. Okay.
No on that. Mowgli. No, he's the voice. Vice. Played Dick Cheney, actually, very well.
Yeah, okay.
Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah.
Very good movie.
Yeah, and nominated for all those Oscars.
Yes, and that's it.
All right, so what's his ratio?
All right, so we got, 24 to 18.
Okay.
So that means that's 42, and it's 24 divided by 42.
Hmm.
That puts him at 57%.
57?
In between Cruise and Pitt. Right in between in the sweet spot.
All right.
Right in between.
McConaughey's next.
That's good.
All right, here he is, ladies and gentlemen. After a four-month hiatus being put on the sidelines, he didn't even dress for games. He didn't even have the sport coat on. He was banished to the locker room. It's Dave in Center City. Hello, Dave.
Thank you, gang.
How are you, Dave? It's been a long time.
Yeah, I felt too comfortable, which turned into carelessness that day. And you know what's funny? That whole day I wanted to talk about a Madonna concert, and then for some reason I switched gears. But what a pleasure to be back on with the A-Team.
Well, Dave, it's good that you have admitted your mistake. You got a little rude in that, and that was the problem. And so we rallied around that. And so you've seen the error of your ways, and we're happy to have you back.
Thank you, Michael. But, Brad Pitt, who do you think his heart truly belongs to? Jolie or Aniston? I know who my heart would belong to.
You would belong to Aniston?
Negative. Jolie.
I think that he was a Jolie man. See, Jolie took it like it was like the wave that carried him over the top. You know, Aniston's, you know, cutesy.
But Jolie is more, how should we put it, internationally, politically, universally.
She's probably way higher maintenance. But I'll put it this way. Aniston bops into the room. Jolie slinks into the room. It all depends on what you like, the bop or the slink.
Yeah. May I touch the positive Eagles banter, please?
Sure.
Okay. Sporting news. Preseason poll is out already. They're the only reputable ones. They've been spot on the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Eagles ranked right now as sixth best team in the league. I have them the fourth best team. They're very impressed with Hargraves and Slay. They're going to put the heat on the opposing quarterback. Don't worry about Howie and what wide receiver core he's going to trade for in draft. They're very concerned with keeping the heat off Carson. 14 mm-hmm. sacks a year, Tom Brady-esque.
Right.
We have the second best coach in the league. We have the second best quarterback in the league. Where is the qualms and trepidation?
You're the second best quarterback in the league?
behind Mahomes? Where is the, I mean, I'm sure they're going to plug in wide receivers. Oh, my God, I didn't know Cincinnati franchised A.J. Green. I thought he would be a good fit here. But are you concerned, Mike, that Howie's going to spit out the bit?
No. I'm not concerned about it. I give people a chance from year to year. Like, I'm not one of these guys that says, okay, because he's failed in the past, he's going to fail this year. Everybody's got a different, you got a different approach every year. You may learn something a little more about yourself, about your draft picks. You look in a little different directions. I mean, and the only way you can tell is if you see the guy on the field and it doesn't work. Now, if he tries to outsmart himself and go linebacker in the first round, then I wouldn't like that. Because if you're going to make this whole team about your quarterback, he's got to be a leader. Well, then you got to give him a chance to shine with better players around him. So that's what I say.
Yeah, you can't just ask him to, hey, go make some plays. Unless, in this league, too.
Best quarterback in the league?
No, he's not second best. I mean, I have him top five, but not number two.
You have him top five, huh?
Yeah, Russell Wilson's better than him.
You got to prove that top five to me. You're not top five yet for me.
Well, I mean, what? No comment.
All right. Let's go to Dave in Marlton. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Mike, how you doing, man?
What's going on, Dave?
Mike, Matt, and Ty, thank you so much for some awesome radio during these difficult times.
Well, I don't know how awesome it is. We're trying our best to be entertaining. How's that?
You got me smiling.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, so then doing a little afternoon cooking right now on this rainy day, making some shepherd's pie for this evening.
Oh, those shepherd's pie. Nice comfort food. Can't go wrong with shepherd's pie.
Nah, mashed potatoes and the meat and veggies.
Do you go lamb in the shepherd's pie?
So this one's actually cottage pie because it's beef instead of lamb.
Okay, all right, that's all right.
And then Zoom. You're going to enjoy it, Mike. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We're actually playing the game right.
I think I look wretched on a computer screen. I can't look at myself on TV, much less a computer screen, yeah. Which gives you a completely distorted look.
You don't look too bad on TV. I met you in person at the Sixers game. Come on, give yourself some credit.
Yeah, I think I'm better looking in person than on TV.
All right, there you go. So then now to the racers, right? So IndyCar has actually got the iRacing on the weekends.
Yeah.
Where 30 drivers are actually doing the simulator.
Yeah, NASCAR does that too.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it actually looks like a real race. It's pretty cool. Now, with Kyle
Larson, that's where my man got into trouble for saying the N-word.
Yeah, well, I think he's in a lot of hot water here.
Well, he got suspended, but he didn't come out with an apology today.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's going to be hard to come back for him because his contract's up this year, so he's going to look for a new ride.
Yeah, he's getting dropped by some people, and that's what you got to do. You can't get away with that anymore.
No, you can't. Come on.
You got to
be aware.
Here's the thing that I wanted to talk about with this. If this, like, that kind of behavior is excused in a lot of ways by people who are fans. And this is what I'm saying. Like, when something like that happens, you have to divorce yourself from being a fan. Like, when it happened with Riley Cooper, like, I was embarrassed that there were still people going, coo, and not thinking anything of that. There's where you got to cut ties. Like, you know, you got to be Paulie from Goodfellas at that point. And he no longer belongs to you when you do something like that. Because you make yourself look bad if you endorse that.
So I looked, he posted his apology on social media after the show started. Mm-hmm. I go to look at it, and I look at the replies. And, I mean, he apologized. I mean, whatever. I look underneath a good chunk of people. A good chunk. Now, social media is not the whole world. I forgive you. Now, I don't know. Many of those people are perhaps the wrong hue to be forgiving, but by and large, at least half of his fans are just saying, we all make mistakes, no big deal, let's move on.
Well, and that's the thing that people can't get past, the fact that they're fans of a certain entity or a certain person. That's where you got to look within yourself and go, well, it's not right. And it's not right for me to say, we forgive you. It's not right. At that point, you go, you know, maybe later down the road, I could be a fan of the guy. But just because he plays for my team or because I like that sport and I like that particular driver should not have an effect. And that's how we can all grow as people.
I agree. And that during the Riley Cooper thing, once he kept him, because I assumed he's not that good a player, he'll be gone. Once Chip kept him, I knew he was never going to win here at that moment. The day he decided, because remember the punishment was like he went to, well, we still don't know what it was. They kept that under wraps. Mm-hmm. Was he fined? We don't know. Was he suspended? No, he missed some practice. And once he was just back,
and then
after that he decides, Shady, say what you want, and Deshaun, them two got to go. But Riley can stay. You kind of knew everything you needed to know about Chip Kelly.
Here's the question I want to ask people. For you, where does a player lose your affection? Where and how does a player lose your affection? What's the moment? Is it saying the N-word? Is it committing a crime? Like, or you don't care about anything that you're still in? Like, what's the line that you draw to stop supporting a guy you like?
It's a good question. That's a good, fair question. For me, if you commit a crime, if you commit a violent crime, like I can still root for a guy if he, like, I don't know, embezzled funds. Mm-hmm. Like I can still find a way to root for a guy. Right or wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. Yeah. I'm saying I could still find a way. Any violent crime, I'm out. Like if you assault somebody, murder somebody, domestic violence, anything like that, I'm out. And also then if you quit. If I feel like you've quit, I'm out. I never forgive you. I'm out forever. Now you can perform poorly and I can forgive. But if I feel like you stopped giving effort, mm-hmm. If you did anything violent, or obviously racial slur, you're out. Those three things, you're out.
Let me ask you this question. When Cooper continued to play for the Eagles, Eagle fans are rooting for their team. He's on the field. He's trying to help them win. They're looking at it only one way. I know they're in a tough spot at that point. Mm-hmm. A fan is in a tough spot where he has to make a decision on whether to do what is proper and right as opposed to they're playing for my team and I got to root for them to succeed. That's a tough spot for them to be in. For a guy like me, it's not tough. Right away, like I was appalled when they were going, Coop. But on the other hand, I go, it's tough for them to make that decision.
Yes.
They're a fan. Like, I'm not in the same boat as a fan. I'm more of an analyst. So I can look at it, completely divorce myself from it, and not utter his word for the rest, utter his name for the rest of my life.
I agree with you. When you do that, to me, you're just, that's it. Like,
So what spot were you guys in as Eagle fans? If you can go back to that time, what spot were you in? And when you were cheering for him, did it make you feel bad or not? You know, we all have our different views. I'm not going to judge you. I was telling you how I felt about that. You already said you're in a different spot. You're in a tougher spot than me because he still plays for your team. The right thing to do was to take that decision out of your hands and cut him when that happened. So you wouldn't have had to make that decision.
Now, I have friends who had the gall to want to stop being friends with me for being bothered by it. I remember on my Facebook, there's a certain organization known for racism, and Cooper's name began with a C. So I changed the letter when I referred to him for the rest of his career from C to that letter. And they had the gall to tell me I was more wrong than he was.
That's just ignorant people who don't understand why you would be bothered by that. And that's just it.
I don't, whatever, bro.
Get out of my life.
But yeah, they were really mad at me.
Maurice in Philly, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Maurice.
Yeah, point of Molly Pooper, that was the name I had for him. You know, I care less about the guy myself, but, yeah, at least he has no NFL career for what it's worth. But anyway, the point of real quick question about Tom Cruise. Did he Did he? Did you guys give him a hit or miss on Edge of Tomorrow?
Miss.
A miss? I would say that was hit, only because I felt like that was like the last Tom Cruise movie that was worth checking out in my mind. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. But that was, in my mind, probably the last good Tom Cruise movie that, for me, I enjoyed. Everything uh-huh. else, like the,
I got you.
Was like pretty much one and the same.
Uh-huh.
But the question with the draft, though, who would you say would you draft? Would you deal out, Will and Deal to grab? Would you deal out to grab a receiver that you think Carson would really need in a draft? Who are you willing to? Would you think just draft picks, or do you think?
I think that that's all people would want would be draft picks.
You think we could sweeten the pot significantly, throwing in Ertz and move up significantly, or would it make a difference?
Could do that. You could, but now with Ertz, that team that's acquiring him knows that contract's got to go way up. So they're committing themselves to, like, top three tight end money. And I don't know if teams would do that for a guy who's now going to be in his 30s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't really know what the value is of that. You know, listen, people would love to have him, but it's the price you would have to pay financially to grab a guy like that. That's why draft picks don't cost anything. And if you can stack up draft toy, that's what they call draft capital.
That's true. So I mean, yeah, it might not be too much, but yeah, I was inquiring about that because at the end of the day, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, we have Dallas Goedert, so I feel like we could part with one if that would make a significant difference.
No, I get you. I can see like if that's the only way you could get up to 13, you would do that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, Tyrone, would you do that?
I would not.
You would not trade Ertz to get up there?
I would not. I know there are a lot of people who don't like that 12 personnel. I mm-hmm. want the 12 personnel of last year with better outside receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will open up the field in a way that would be a... If you had a fast guy, for example, like you thought Deshaun was going to do, I think that Wentz could do some real damage. Mm-hmm. If you couldn't bring safeties forward, because look at the production that those tight ends had.
Yeah.
Without safeties in the box, imagine if they were out.
Right.
I think you could be more diverse having. I don't like getting rid of great players. Ertz is a great player for a maybe, and every draft pick is a maybe. I will trade picks to get up to 13, though, to amplify, but I'm not trading a sure thing for a maybe, personally.
Okay. 600-620-0975. John Clark's going to join us, and then we'll do the comedy thing with Nate Bargatze. Now people are going, who the hell is that? Well, I didn't know who it was either. And he's funny in an understated way, which always resonates with me. Like, I like the understated comedian, unless you're Chris Rock or Lewis Black. All right?
Makes sense, yeah.
Right, we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 4:30, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. It's time for a Twitter poll update with Natalie Eganoff. Nat, brought to us, of course, by Paul B. Moyer & Sons.
Thanks, Mike. Over 700 votes on this one. Are you enjoying watching the game? Re-airs, 30% say yes, 70% say no.
All right. Sounds good. Let's move on to our next guy who is still trying to do good work for NBC Sports Philadelphia and the website and coming up with interesting ideas, and had a chance to talk with one of the Phillies pitchers about this Major League Baseball plan, which says now they've changed the whole thing. So let's go to John Clark on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. All right, John, your interview with Zach Wheeler, very interesting in that Zach says I'm a little ambivalent to go through with any of these plans.
Well, and it's interesting because there are other guys whose wives are pregnant, like Mike Trout. His wife is pregnant and due, I think, in August or something like that. So when any sport talks about possibly having like a bubble city where you would have all the teams there and they would play all the games there in one city, and then they would all have to go back to their hotels and possibly be away from their families and be quarantined. I mean, Zach Wheeler is not down with that because he wants to be there with his wife And as she's about to have a baby, then have a baby, and he says he's not missing the birth of his first child, and I don't blame him at all. And so I think these leagues are going to run into a problem if that is their plan, because there's a bunch of guys, I'm sure, in that situation.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys, but they are probably a very distinct minority. Now, Zach Wheeler hasn't made a lot of money, but his decision is easy because his wife's pregnant. But if his wife was not pregnant, and he's looking now to cash in on that big contract, would he think differently? And this is the problem here. Because the players' union wants all their players to make some money. And there's, you know, the high-priced players are the high-priced players. There's a majority of guys, like 80% of the league, is still trying to make money in this game. And that's what that union is supposed to foster for them. So how do you, like, what would happen here? How would the vote come out? Do you have any information on how the Players Association would handle it?
That's a great question. And I'm sure, as they are right now, they're talking to a lot of their players. I mean, you have a guy like Jake Arrieta, who's made a ton of money, and he's making a ton of money with the Phillies, and he's got kids, so young kids. And so do you think Jake Arrieta would really want to be away from his kids and his wife for, let's say, 3-4 months?
No.
No.
So, and nor would Bryce Harper, nor would Aaron. Like, guys, you can look at the Phillies, right, and look at the guys that would have no interest in this because they've got cake. Right, and they can sit on that. But there's a lot of guys without cake.
Yeah, and listen, you know, I interviewed Zach Warren of the Phillies. He's a local guy. And, you know, he told me he made, in the minor leagues last year, $6,500 before taxes. And I think it's fantastic that Minor League Baseball actually said, okay, we're going to pay these guys. I think it's through the end of May. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you have guys who are fighting for their financial lives, their livelihood in the minor leagues, and then when they get called up, they're scraping by. I thought it was awesome, though, that I was told by him that Bryce Harper and Andrew McCutchen offered some of the minor leaguers to help out if they needed any financial help. But there's going to be a division with all the guys who desperately need to have the paychecks coming in and the guys who have made a ton of money and want to be home with their families.
See, this is the thing. The NFL just went through this, right? The big money players didn't want any parts of this 17-game thing because they got a little clout. They're worried about injuries. The younger players aren't making anything. They go, it's money for me. And so that vote comes out, we'll pass it. This will be interesting how the Players Association handles this.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And when it comes to the NFL, I was talking to a couple guys who say some of the younger guys, first year or second year in the league, they kind of get used to a way of living with an NFL salary. Whether it's you buy your mom a house or you take care of some guys and then you'd like to spend some money and buy some things. Well, some of these guys right now, they were depending on roster bonuses and workout bonuses and things like that that would be coming up. And if they don't have those OTAs, if they don't have some of the other things in the offseason, some of these guys are going to be missing those paychecks too.
You're doing a lot of stuff, obviously, without the benefit of a TV camera. Like the traditional way. And here comes the NFL draft. And they've outlined how they're going to televise this. How do you feel about, first of all, the draft going on this, as scheduled instead of being postponed? And how do you think this is? Are you looking forward to this coming off without a hitch?
I'm sure there's going to be a couple of glitches. I mean, you're basically having every single person in the draft, Roger Goodell, and then all the players are going to be from their homes. I've had enough problems with some of the apps trying to get family members on video conferencing. And there's been the hiccups in the background of people doing things. So I'm sure there's going to be some hiccups. But, you know, a week ago I was saying, how could they go through with this draft when our country is going through such a bad time? But I do think it provides some relief and some, you know, people who need to, you know, step away from hearing the bad news all day. And I feel terrible for people who have lost loved ones and for our healthcare workers that are really doing miraculous work. But I guess I'm not so against it right now because I think it does provide a little bit of a distraction and a little bit of relief for people who do need it, who need some good news.
It does. We certainly didn't get it out of the horse contest last night, did we?
Oh, my.
We didn't get it out of that. So, yeah, so I mean, at least this will be interesting with anticipation. Your squad's coming up. But I got to answer this serious question. How long do you think it'll take for some computer nerd to hack into the transmission and go Baba Booey. what are the odds of that? Like, how soon does that happen?
Well, I think there's a couple different apps. I don't even know if we're allowed to name them, but you know, there have been some apps, and I just did a thing with a bunch of relatives, like 25 relatives yesterday for Easter, on an app that could be hacked, but we didn't really care. We would welcome it for a little.
Was it Party House or was it Zoom?
It was Zoom. And so I think with the NFL draft, I've been told teams have got pretty secure methods for this, with a lot of different passwords, a lot of different things going on. So they're not on the trying to get your relatives on Zoom app.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the league would probably take that precaution as well.
Okay. Did you talk to McCutcheon also about some things here coming out of baseball season? Like a guy like McCutcheon is in a really interesting spot. He makes a lot of money, but he's also trying to make a comeback. And he wants to get on the field. Like he'll be healed by the time they try to pull this thing off.
Yeah, our Corey Seidman spoke to him, and I think he's probably ready to go right now. They were, you know, the Phillies were originally saying sometime in April. But you know what's interesting, Mike, with pitchers? I mean, you know, they schedule their whole off season about how to ramp up their arm and get their arm fired up and heated up and everything. And that was one of the things I asked Zach Wheeler about, where you go to spring training to start, you know, adding more innings. Okay, he can now go another inning or two the next start, the amount of pitches. Well, now they're kind of, Zach says he's only throwing maybe 90% instead of 100%. But I think it's tough to go up, down, and then ramp up for a season again. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think these other sports as well, I think it's tough for guys to be in that zone where the body is just is in the season. And it's in the groove, and then all of a sudden it has to dial back for months, and all of a sudden you're asking to ramp up again. I think that's going to be tough, and I think you'll probably see some injuries.
All right. Anything else going on? Anything else on your mind? What's the next John Clark focus?
The draft. I mean, the draft is the big focus. I mean, you know, the Eagles need to come out with some young receivers, and then maybe get younger at a couple spots. So I think that's the big thing right now. I mean, without that, Mike, I don't know what we'd be talking about.
They've taken the airport away from you this year.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, it's mind-boggling. Johnny Clark, no airport.
Well, we got the Zoom.
I know, but I like when you spring, you know, here comes the guy and you spring out from behind a pillar. I like that part.
I do miss it.
All right, man.
I do miss it.
You take care of yourself. Keep sheltered.
Hey, you stay safe there.
All right, brother. There is John Clark, Comcast Business Hotline. We had a winner. We had a winner in our Fast Cash 500 contest. Matthew Rose from Morristown, New Jersey. It's Morristown, right? Or is it Norristown, PA? It's Morristown, New Jersey.
The person called is not from here, so that's my fault. It's Morristown.
Morristown, New Jersey. Congratulations to Matthew.
No, it's Norristown, PA.
Oh, it's Norristown, PA. All right, Norristown, PA, Matthew Rose.
So that's our fourth winner.
It is. It's pretty good.
Four winners.
That's a nice distance of the show to listen to if you want to win 500.
You want to get that money.
All right. On the other side, we'll do the Nate Bargatze thing, and then we'll analyze the film. What do you call it? The film catalog of one Matthew McConaughey. And I guess we have to go way back. We have to go way back and start with Dazed and Confused.
Yes.
Does he get credit for that?
Yes.
Yeah.
All
right. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
446 is the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, the Fanatic, 610-620-975. All right, this is Comedy Week, so we're going to like be playing these comedic bits all week, and tomorrow we're slated to have Nikki Glaser on the show, which I'm really looking forward to. Comedians are a very interesting lot to me. I was watching one of those coffee and cars with comedians, right? And Jerry Seinfeld, he doesn't hang out with anybody unless they're comedians.
Yeah.
Right? And comedians hang out with other comedians, or do they not?
It depends. Some, it's a very lonely existence. That's why, unfortunately, a lot of
the only people they run into really are comedians who are on the bill with them, right?
Yeah, a lot of them are depressed.
Yeah,
that's why, unfortunately, the suicide rate among comedians is actually pretty high.
See, I've never really hung out with people in sports, media. You know, I know them, and I'm, friendly with a lot of them, but I didn't really hung out with them because I wanted to, I know that feel. Like, I want to meet people who do other things.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird about me. But comedians, I don't know. And like, the marriage part of a comedian is interesting to me. Like, is it difficult to be married to a comedian, you think?
No.
No?
Well, I think you'd have to understand their moods. Because
they use you all the, like, they'll use the family and they'll use you as the spouse in a lot of bits.
Yeah, that's part of the deal.
Yeah.
But that comes with it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you'd have to understand the person that you're dating, and especially that they're not going to be on all the time, and that they're not going to be, like, funny all the time.
All right, well, anyway.
And, like, I use my wife for this. Like, if something comes up,
do,
and she
involved,
like, yeah. She has to just know that's part of the deal. We're public.
She knows it's part of the deal, but it's not, like, 100%, like, oh, that's, you know.
She doesn't bother.
Okay. It doesn't bother at all?
No.
Okay. All right, that's good. So this guy is, I listen to a guy, and I go, this guy's different. He's, like, unique and understated, and he's got this, like, kind of Tennessee kind of accent to him. And I thought he was funny. Like, it takes a lot for me to think somebody's funny.
He's funny.
Right? And he, like, I don't know what we're going to play. You might not think it's uproariously funny, because you have to see, like, his whole like, hour-long act and figure out what he's all about. But anyway, this guy's name's Nate Bargatze. He's from Tennessee. And very understated. Here he is.
My last name is Bargatze. I know nothing about the history of my family. I've never, like, really looked into it. So I asked a great uncle, told me a pretty wild story. We had a guy in our family that got murdered, actually, by a sickle, like the thing the Grim Reaper carries. And this was, like, the 1800s, too, just so you don't have to feel. It's not a recent story. We're over it as a family. So, the guy, it was his own fault, too. The guy's nickname, they called him Two Thumbs Bargatze. And the reason they called him that was because he had two thumbs on one hand, but still had the other thumb. So, not even a good nickname. I'm Two Thumbs Bargatze. Everybody but him is Two Thumbs Bargatze. He's the only not Two Thumbs we've ever had in the history of our family. So, like I said, he was a troublemaker. Two Thumbs, he was hooking up with this guy's wife. So, he's at her house. He leaves. The neighbor sees him. He gives him two thumbs, one hand up, you know. And the neighbor's like, all right. The husband gets home. The neighbor was like, hey, your wife's cheating on you with this dude. And he was like, who's the guy? And he was like, I don't know his name, but he had two thumbs on one hand. Yeah, that helps. And, you know, the guy was like, that helps a lot. I didn't know you were going to be that specific. So I know exactly who it is. So Two Thumbs was at home. This is all what I was told. He was at home. He was gardening. He was extra good at gardening. And he's sitting there. He's gardening. And the sickle's there. And then he kills him. He kills him with it. And that's it. That's basically it. But here's the lesson. All right, guys? The lesson is, if you're doing something shady, that's not the time to stand out. You know? Like, you don't want to be different then. Put your dumb hand in your pocket. If I had three legs and was going to rob a bank, I'm going to be the getaway driver. I'm not going to gallop in the bank with all three legs.
All right. So, like, he's not, like, understated like that, like, kind of offbeat. And he tells stories, like, with his friends and his wife. It's just like this stream of consciousness humor.
I enjoy him.
Yeah.
That works for me.
He's funny.
Now, Nat.
Yeah, I think he was funny.
Yeah, he's got this, what the routine is, where his wife's in bed, and he goes to get something. And she goes, well, don't you know it's blah, blah, blah. Like, you have to listen to the way he tells great stories that way, and he makes it humorous.
Now, the reason I picked that one is the one that got him on the Tonight Show.
Oh, really?
And then he performed that part on The Tonight Show. That's partially why that got picked
right, now,
mass appeal.
His father was a clown.
Really?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, his father was a clown. This is what he did for a living. And then he morphed into being a magician.
Mm.
So he tells this story about how he's in the Des Moines, Iowa, doing this magician show. And the organizer of the show said, you know, it'd be really funny, Nate, if you came up and instead of the girl coming out of the box, it'd be you. And then you can do your bit. So he goes, okay. But now he's assuming that everybody would know what this whole landscape is. And and he comes out of the box and nobody knew who it was or who the guy. And he said he had to do a routine and nobody knows who the hell he is. And the father was shocked. Like, what? That's weird, isn't it?
That's super weird.
Can you imagine that? All right, let's go to Tom in the Northeast. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Tom?
Anyway, that guy, he was pretty good. And I certainly would like him a lot better than I would like his father, because I hate clowns. I just hate clowns.
His father drove up once he was a kid. He remembers his father driving up, and he's a clown, and he's got the Easter Bunny in the passenger side.
I was going to give you my fly fishing tip, but before I do that, I want to just mention yesterday I finally enjoyed a sporting event, and that was the replay of Tiger Woods winning last year. I know you're not a Tiger Woods fan, but that was
a great victory. I was at that Masters, and at round two he walked right past me like nobody knew where he was. He walked right, and I was standing right there, and I gave him a little head bob.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, and then he when he hugs his two kids, and he hugs his mom who was there.
Oh, it's very emotional.
Years ago, when he first
won. Yeah, it was very emotional for me.
And then I'm thinking, here we are in the deep south, and there's all these white people screaming Tiger, Tiger, Tiger like crazy, like Caesar in Rome, and I'm thinking, this is a pretty good country, actually.
Yeah, that's because he said he wasn't a black man. So it was easy for them to cheer him down. So.
Well, anyway, I'm fly fishing. If you start it, you'll end up fly fishing like you play golf.
Really?
You'll just throw it out there.
Hooked. Really?
You'll be hooked for life, and you can do it by yourself. That's another thing.
And what do you fish for when you fly fish?
Trout, and you go up to the Poconos, you go to the stream, the Poconos by yourself, and you look for these streams, but they have pools, and you'll find the pools, and it's not easy to learn how to throw that fly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's something I've always wanted to do. Yeah, because the river runs through it. Since I saw that, that's cool. The waders, you know, a little hat with the flies.
Yeah, that's probably something I'd get to.
Yeah, you want to do that anyway, because you want to go out in the outdoors thing. Tyrone the Fly Fisherman.
Yeah, I would love that on the weekends.
That could be a YouTube thing, man. That would be wildly successful.
Probably would be.
A river runs through Tyrone.
There you go. I'm out there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that'd be awesome. All right, 5 o'clock hour is ahead. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. We do have a couple open lines. It's a good time to get in. Matthew McConaughey will be analyzing at 5 o'clock hour. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.